My plan for us is to study Psalm 103 in two parts. This evening, verses 1 through 5, and then next Sunday evening, verses 6 through 22. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5 address man's forgetfulness. Verses 6 through 22 speak of God's forgiveness. Forgetfulness can be a tremendous problem. We've all experienced the mental block and then the embarrassment of forgetting someone's name. Perhaps we've missed an appointment or have forgotten an obligation. Maybe you've gone to the grocery store and you've come home forgetting the most important item on your list. Nothing, of course, is worse than forgetting those most important dates, men, our wives' birthday, and of course our anniversary, our wedding anniversary. I'm told that the older we get, the harder it is to remember things and the easier it is to forget things. Is that true? To address that problem, some have tried tying a string around their finger, or perhaps drafting a to-do list, or using a day planner, or a Palm Pilot. Now it's a smartphone to help us remember those important things, and we hire assistants and secretaries to remind us of what we need to do, and where we need to go, and when we need to be there, to keep from forgetting important occasions. We take pictures. To keep us from forgetting important people, we put their names on bridges, and on signs, and on buildings. But come the end of the day, whether we are young or whether we are old, we are forgetful people. And so, the psalmist David gives us this instruction in Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not, all His benefits. Because we are so prone to forget who God is and what God has done, we are instructed to praise Him, to bless Him, so that we don't forget. But, as I've written at the top of your outline this evening, in the Old Testament, the word forget does not describe a lapse of memory, like I have just described, so much as it describes an abandonment of God's Word and an apathy toward God's work. According to Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5, when we fail to praise the Lord, we forget who He is and what He has done. Let me show you what I mean by that if you'll turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. As I read Deuteronomy 8, I want you to notice every idea related to remembering or forgetting. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. You follow as I read. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go into possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. Verse 2, and you shall remember, note that, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. So He humbled you, allowed you to be hungry, to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment of the Lord your God to walk in His ways and to fear Him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, and a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil and olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God. Remember that, and cross-reference that with Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. Then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. Beware, verse 11, that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, His statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them. And when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when you are prospering, is what he's saying, verse number 14, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you, do good, or to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember, verse 18, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow after other gods and serve the other gods and worship the other gods, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. In the Old Testament, the consequence of forgetting was great. The secret to protect and prevent ourselves from forgetting is to bless the Lord. Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2, if you might consider the psalmist David addressing the very people who would have received at Deuteronomy chapter 8, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What does it mean to bless the Lord? In his classic commentary on the Psalms called The Treasury of David, Charles Spurgeon includes this explanation, and I've printed it for you on the back of your outline, and again, forgive me for reading so much here at the outset of my message, but this is what is included there in The Treasury of David. You have often heard that when God is said to bless men, and they, on the other hand, are excited to bless him, the word is taken in two very different senses. God blesses us in a different way than we bless God. God is the only fountain of being and happiness from which all good ever flows, and hence he is said to bless his creatures when he bestows mercies and favors upon them, when he gives them any endowments of body and mind, delivers them from evils, and is the source of their present comforts and future hopes. But in this same sense, you'll see, there is no possibility of our blessing God. For as his infinite and unblemished perfection renders him incapable of receiving any higher excellency or improvements in happiness, so could we put the supposition that this immense ocean of good might be increased? It is plain that we who receive our very being and everything that we have or are from him could in no case contribute thereto. To bless God, then, is with an ardent affection humbly to acknowledge those divine excellencies which render him the best and greatest of beings, the only object worthy of the highest adoration. It is to give him the praise of all the glorious attributes which adorn his nature and are so conspicuously manifested in his works and ways. To bless God is to embrace every proper opportunity of owning our veneration and esteem of his excellent greatness, and to declare to all about us, as loudly as we can, the goodness and grace of his conduct toward men and our infinite obligations for all our enjoyments to him, in whom we live, move, and have our being. And a right blessing of God must take its rise from a heart that is full of esteem and gratitude, which puts life into the songs of praise. You see, folks, we can't add and we can't take away from God. There is nothing that we can do or say that makes him more or less than he already is. So to bless him is simply to acknowledge who he is and all that he has done, and in that we are exercising our attention and our affections toward him, and in that we keep ourselves from forgetting all his benefits. Okay, then, we are to bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits. What are his benefits? For what do we bless God? And you might complete the outline on the front part of that page. First, a praise for pardon praise for pardon. The first point of our praise to God, or the first part of our blessing God, is to praise Him that we have been pardoned from our sin. Verse number 3. Psalm 103, verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Letter A. Our pardon means we've been forgiven. Our pardon means we have been forgiven. In Jesus Christ, we know complete forgiveness of sins. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed His blood, He made atonement for all our sins. 1 John 1:9, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. 100% complete forgiveness. Amen? We bless the Lord for that. For our pardon means we are forgiven. I am told that each day at Chicago's O'Hare Airport, all the planes land safely without incident, except two. I am told that each week in the U.S., all surgeries are performed successfully, except 500 that result in death. I am told that each day in the U.S., all newborn babies are well cared for, except 50 that are dropped by doctors and nurses. Evidently, the U.S. Postal Service delivers all the mail, except 16,000 pieces that are lost each hour. Now, I don't know about the accuracy of those figures, but I do know this. Folks, all our sins have been forgiven. Amen? Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord who forgives all your iniquities. Our pardon means that we are forgiven, but secondly, our pardon means that we are healed. Our pardon means that we are healed, and it's there at the end of verse number 3, who heals all your diseases. Now, somebody explain this to me. Anecdotal evidence proves that God doesn't heal all our diseases, right? Certainly there are sick and there are dying people all around us, but if you look closely here, the psalmist David is addressing himself, "O my soul," he says twice in verses 1 and 2. The psalmist is not speaking of his material body, but his immaterial, his soul. And God has promised to heal all his soul's diseases, not his body diseases. And the primary soul disease is sin. Isaiah 53, verse 5. Perhaps you've memorized the scripture. But he was wounded for our transgressions, our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities, our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed, not forgiven, but healed. And it's a beautiful picture of restoration and wholeness. In the New Testament Gospels, Jesus' granting of forgiveness of sins was often accompanied by physical healing. For instance, in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus told the paralytic that his sins were forgiven. Of course, the religious leaders accused him of blasphemy, for only God can forgive sins, right? And so Jesus asked them, what is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise and walk? Jesus then healed the man physically to illustrate his divine ability to heal the man spiritually. And so in a very real sense, our pardon means that we are healed from our soul's diseases, namely our sickness of sin. And we need to praise the Lord for our pardon, without which we are damned to suffer an eternity in hell, separated from God forever. And we ought not to forget that. Amen? We can bless the Lord. We can praise the Lord for our pardon. It means that all our sins are forgiven, and it means that our soul is healed. Secondly, We need to bless or praise the Lord for His preservation. Number 2, His preservation. And you'll find that there now in verse number 4. Verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Letter A, our preservation begins with our redemption. Our preservation begins with redemption. The word redeem points to a rich picture in the Old Testament of the kinsman redeemer, one who would ensure the safety of a family member and who would purchase them for themselves. The most familiar case study, of course, is the story of Boaz and Ruth. The word redeem points to a rich picture in the New Testament of one being purchased from the slave market. And of course, we know the work of Christ is that he redeemed us from the slave market of sin, purchasing our freedom and making us his own. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Colossians 1:14 says the very same thing. And our preservation begins with our redemption, who redeems your life from destruction, verse 4 says, but also who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Our preservation is completed with our coronation. Letter B, our coronation. Not only have we been redeemed from the debtor's prison, letter A, we have been ushered into the throne room of the king. A crown awaits us, not a crown of political power or of might or authority, but a crown of his loving kindness and his tender mercies. Again, if I might cite, Charles Spurgeon writes, the crown must be far more precious than if it were made of corruptible things, such as silver and gold. It is studded with the gems of grace and lined with the velvet of loving kindness. It is decked with the jewels of mercy, but made soft for the head to wear by a lining of tenderness. While we might not fully appreciate the ancient imagery that's here in verse 4, we must at least acknowledge the contrast that is present in verse number 4. From redemption to coronation, God's preservation is not only a matter of protecting us from destruction. Verse 4a, look at the psalm, verse 4a. It's not only preserving us or redeeming us from destruction, verse 4a, but it's also taking us to the coronation, to that crowning, to promoting us to his full favor. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord for that benefit. Number 3, we praise the Lord for provision. We praise the Lord for provision. Verse number 5, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. First, his provision satisfies our needs. Letter A. His provision satisfies our needs. Many people spend a lifetime in pursuit of happiness and fulfillment and satisfaction, but never truly find it. I'm reminded of Jesus at the well in Samaria. You remember the dialogue as it is recorded in John 4. Jesus asked a lady for a drink of water. And the woman of Samaria was startled that a strange man would be asking a strange woman for a drink. The woman of Samaria was curious how that a Jewish man would speak to a Samaritan woman. But of course, Jesus explained to the woman that whoever would drink of the well there would thirst again. But whoever would drink of the water that he offered would never thirst again. And he was speaking of everlasting life. And the hunger and the craving and the thirst of this world seeks to satisfy itself in the pleasures of this world. But they are always left wanting. But yet it is the Lord. One of the benefits is that he satisfies our needs. Our greatest needs, folks, are not for material provision, but for that appetite of our soul. And then also his provision is that he renews our lives, letter B. He renews our lives. And in poetic fashion, the psalmist describes the eagle. Now, there is a renewing process of great birds called molting, in which the feathers that are lost are replaced by new feathers that give an old bird the ability to look forever young as they soar tirelessly. Of course, the same image is used in Isaiah 40:31, and it's familiar to us in the movie Chariots of Fire, where Eric Little reads from the passage while you see images of Olympians faltering and falling as they compete. But of course we grow weary, and of course we grow old, but let us remember to praise the Lord for His provision in renewing us like the eagle. And I think of Paul, who said, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, we are being renewed day by day. The inward man being renewed day by day. And folks, we must not forget all His benefits. We must bless Him. We must praise Him for who He is and what He has done. Let me finish this evening by reading to you a story from Paul Harvey that, in a small way, illustrates the emphasis this evening. It was gratitude that prompted an old man to visit an old broken pier on the eastern seacoast of Florida. Every Friday night until his death in 1973, he would return walking slowly and slightly stooped with a large bucket of shrimp. The seagulls would flock to this old man and he would feed them from his bucket. You see, many years before, in October 1942, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was on a mission in a B-17 to deliver an important message to General Douglas MacArthur in New Guinea. But there was an unexpected detour that would hurl Captain Eddie into the most harrowing adventure of his life. Somewhere over the South Pacific, the Flying Fortress became lost beyond the reach of radio. Fuel ran dangerously low, so the men ditched their plane in the ocean. For nearly a month, Captain Eddie and his companions would fight the water and the weather and the scorching sun. They spent many sleepless nights recoiling as giant sharks rammed their rafts. The largest raft was only 9 by 5. The biggest shark, at least 10 feet long. But of all their enemies at sea, one proved most formidable: starvation. 8 days out, their rations were long gone or destroyed by the salt water. It would take a miracle to sustain them, and a miracle occurred. Captain William Sherry read the service that afternoon, Rickenbacker later wrote, and we finished with prayer for deliverance and a hymn of praise. There was some talk, but it tapered off in the oppressive heat. With my hat pulled down over my eyes to keep out some of the glare, I dozed off. Then something landed on my head. I knew it was a seagull. I don't know how I knew, I just knew. Everyone else knew too. No one said a word, but peering out from under my hat brim, without moving my head, I could see the expression on their faces. They were staring at that gull. The gull meant food, if I could catch it. And the rest, as they say, is history. Captain Eddie caught the gull. Its flesh was eaten. Its intestines were used for bait to catch fish. The survivors were sustained and their hopes renewed because of a lone seagull, uncharacteristically hundreds of miles from land, who offered itself as a sacrifice, as it were. You know that Captain Eddie made it, and now you also know that he never forgot. Because every Friday evening, about sunset, on a lonely stretch along the eastern Florida seacoast, you could see an old man walking, white-haired, bushy-eyebrowed, slightly bent, his bucket filled with shrimp to feed the gulls, to remember that one which, on a day long past, gave itself without a struggle. How much greater was Christ's sacrifice for us? It doesn't compare. But how much greater was His sacrifice for us? How much more is He given us? And how can we forget His benefits? Oh, not a lapse of memory, as in we can't remember the circumstances, but as in abandoning His word, or becoming apathetic to His works. I'm not suggesting that we have a lapse of memory, but that we have a loss of gratitude. And I think that is the very thing that the psalmist David was calling himself to and the people of Israel to: bless the Lord. Bless His holy name. All that is within me, bless the Lord and forget not His benefits. What are His benefits to us? Well, first, He has pardoned us from all our sin, and He has healed our soul's disease. Verse number 3. He has preserved us, verse number 4, not only redeeming us from that slave market of sin, that season of destruction, but even promoting us to a point of coronation and crowning. And He has provided for us, verse number 5, He satisfied our needs, and He has renewed our lives. And woe to us if we fail to bless Him for that. Let's pray. Father God, forgive us for being a forgetful people. Lord, may we be reminded not simply of the circumstances of Your many benefits to us, but Lord, may we be compelled to bless Your holy name, to praise Your holy name for who You are and for what You have done. Oh God, may You find us to be a grateful people because of all of the many benefits You've given to us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.